Okay. Abundant Gani, everyone. This is Professor Almond Rao, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner. My co-host will not be with us this evening because of a prior commitment. We want to thank Brother Rashid E. Mascani for providing us this space on the CN program, Community Education Network, that is every Wednesday at 6, and we hope that you would tune in. Again, I just want to start by saying that one of the big challenges that we have as an African people is not to let the oppressor be our teacher. Because when they become your teacher, they acculturate you. To be acculturated into Americanism is being acculturated into Europeanism and every aspect of your life, because your culture is your life. It's ceremonies of how you live, how you die, and how you even marry, and how you name yourself, your kids. And because it's a representative of the culture that is in your mind. So if African people of African descent are still naming themselves after European or former slaveholders, that's an example of the acculturation process. As long as our children are naming themselves after Europeans or strange names like Tamika, Chanel, James, or Willie, or things of this nature. The first evidence of liberation, mental and cultural liberation, is you name yourself and you name your children after your heroes, your heroines, and your cultural values. That's why some people name them children Kumba. That's creativity out of the seven principles. Or Nia, that's purpose. Or Kujichakale, that's self-determination. Or Umoja, that's unity. Or Ujamaa, that's cooperative work and responsibility. Or Ujima, which is collective work and responsibility. Those are names that represent the value. And you learn them from your own culture. You're not going to get this in European culture. Every book you read is in English, and they're naming themselves after their heroes and heroines. That's why you still have people named George Washington. You still have people named Thomas Jefferson. You still have people named after their presidents, after their Benjamin Franklin and things of this nature, all with the last name Franklin. But anyway, that's what I'm talking about. And they determine what you eat, how you eat, what you eat with, what you do in ritualization, ceremony, and demonstrating appreciation for what you're eating, like grace and things of this nature. Your prayers are based upon their indoctrination. But getting back to you don't let your oppressor be your teacher. They teach you in different ways. It's not just in public schools, because as Dr. Haki Mahadi Bhuti, director of Institute of Positive Education and publisher of Black Book Bulletin, said, you never send your children to be educated by people that don't love them. And if you do send them, you send them with an understanding and a consciousness of where they are and what to learn. Because you direct them, you be their counselor, and that means you have to be up on it yourself. It's hard for parents who didn't get an education to help educate their children. Well, I mean, if children are taking chemistry or taking algebra, it's very difficult for parents who didn't even take math to help. So sometimes you have to get help in those called basic skills. Basic skills are transferable. But ideological and philosophical are ingrained and indoctrinated. And this is why you say the Pledge of Allegiance all the way through elementary school and up to high school. That's why you sang the Star Spangled Banner at sporting events and everywhere else, to acculturate you and absorb you, to make you think that you're part of the system from a standpoint of taxes, from the standpoint of military service, from the standpoint of sex, and from the standpoint of entertainment. But getting back to don't let your oppressor be your teacher, then they teach you not only directly through education all the way up through college with mandatory general ed education requirements that require you to learn his history, his economics, his math, well, not whether math is transferable, but his philosophy and his humanities. These are all things that shouldn't even be a requirement. The only thing that should be required is math, writing, and English. You can learn English, but you have to see it as a second language as African people. But if you try to take it as a first language, which they judge us on, you get F's and D's, because within our phonics, that's why Ebonics became in, there's certain ways we pronounce and how we see activities that we write them in our African retained cultural apparatus, meaning that the retention that we kept, when even though they brought us from the European, Africa here, we retain what we call some cultural apparatus. A part of that is our ethnicity, which is our physical look. We retain the majority of that, no matter how much they miscegenated and raped and caused the baby, the dominant color, the baby come out with color. But we got to give consciousness to that color, that you're a product of a wholesale human trafficking process that held us in captivity for over 100 years. But getting back to don't let the oppressor be your teacher. Yeah, you can learn a lot of things from European skills. That's good. You know, anything that gets you employment and money, fine. Fundamentals of health and nutrition, not necessarily nutrition to a certain degree, but healthy nutrition, if they're teaching that, yeah, those are things that are essential. You know, electronics and vocational, and even the academic skills, you learn it as a secondary educational process, because your primary education is your cultural apparatus, not the European. And then when we say that's direct teaching, when they make it mandatory for their children to go to school. So once you got your civil rights, or we got our civil rights, it was mandatory that we go to school. And in that first elementary to a preschool to 12th grade is all indoctrination in many ways with regards to the requirements that you have to take to graduate from high school. And the same requirements that you took in high school, you have to take again to graduate from community college. And the same thing with regard to the core CAT courses, what they call core courses, is all Eurocentric for the most part, except for the science and the math and any vocational or physical education classes. And so this is a form of them teaching you. Like when Chinese come in to get education, they come in to get the basic skills, computer technology, engineering, science. They don't get hung up in that they're Americans. They still know they're Chinese, except for those that want to be absorbed into the culture and don't go back home to their mainland. But getting back to not learning, they teach you in different ways. They reward you for learning their culture and learning to hate yourself and learning to hate each other. I mean, that's the apparatus that they teach us from a standpoint of creating conflict, like they're doing in Haiti today, and like they're doing in the Sudan, and like they're doing all over Africa. They did it to the Native American, divide and conquer. And how did they do that? Providing alcohol, drugs, weapons, and then Asian provocateurs, creating conflict, by killing people and blaming the other people, or killing them with their weapons, like they'll shoot a Comanche with an Apache arrow, and then they learn how to really exploit, divide and conquer, and they're still using that. And they support. Well, anyway, let me get back to this education. The next thing is they subliminally seduce you into accepting their education. First, they can punish you. If you don't learn what they want you to learn, they'll flunk you out of school. If you don't learn what they want you to learn, they'll say they'll demonize you, say you don't have no etiquette, you don't speak properly, you don't, you're dumb, and you need to be retrained, and they'll put you in special training and all kind of ways to try to punish you for not learning what they want you to learn, not just transferable skills, but their ideology and their philosophy, how to for how not even to focus on the negativity of the society. Just be grateful you're here. You should be paying us that you're here. And many people do pay for them to teach them, the oppressor to teach them, with loans and grants and trying to get out of college without a foundation of their own culture or own ideological and philosophy of who they are and how they became who they are and how to be who you are. The whole struggle is to liberate ourselves so we can be ourselves, so you can dress the way you want to dress, reflective of your culture. And you can talk the way you want to talk. You want to learn Swahili, or if you want to speak Ebonics, you're not demonized. Your parents weren't demonized who spoke Ebonics. That's what fetched that thing over there yonder. And get not here, yeah. But that you never say, Mama, don't say that way. You understand? You respond. But anyway, letting the European be your teacher. Then they subliminally absorb you with television, electronics, with advertisement, and wanting you to eat food that they know will make you sick so you can go to the hospital and make their, that's what makes their economy. They make their own people sick, and they don't care. They're after the money. If they can make money off their people, they'll do it. Exploitation is exploitation. We suffer more because along with our exploitation come racism, segregation, low incomes, from the standpoint in comparison, college graduate make less than a white man that almost dropped out of school. So these are the things that you have to look at. And then at the same time, you those subliminal methods of teaching you is through theater, through music, through every apparatus that they have that's meant for their people. You become a part of it. That's the oppressor teaching you. Like the Academy Awards, this is white folks giving white folks awards for the most part. And when black people start getting Academy Award, they're happy because the white man said they're good. But you have movies the black people go to only, and that because they don't get the rating, they're not even nominated. Some good pictures and things of this nature. And then when we tried to start our own movies with Garden Parks and Van Peebles and all of them making their own movies, they called it black exploitation. So you had to come back to him. But anyway, the issue is that subliminal. Then they seduce you. They seduce you into their culture with this sexual orientations and sexual desires, and telling you what's beautiful and what's sexy and what's pretty, what's not. And they teach you to look like them, to act like them. And they reward you when you talk proper and you bleach yourself and wear yellow hair. Not that people who have hair scalp issues, you shouldn't wear wigs and things of this nature. But when you wear the yellow hair, the blonde hair, you think you're going to be socially accepted, but they see who you really are. I mean, the sister with the blonde hair, she gets just as much discriminated as other, but the Europeans see you as not a threat because you are using his model of beauty, his model of handsomeness and things of this nature. So the whole concept of don't let your teacher be your educator, that means if the weatherman say that it's going to rain, go out and look for yourself. If he says one and one is two, count yourself. Learn how to be self-sufficient, self-education, self-analyzing, and figure out ways to get the best out of the education. And then the primary purpose of you getting educated is not just for yourself, it's to get in positions so you can help your people. That's how he does it. That's how other groups do it. When you go to a Chinese store, it's generally only Chinese working. When you go to an Indian store from India, it's generally them, Sikhs only working. When you go to white people's store, the majority of the managers and the majority of the people that run the stores are white. And then the lower income people, the laborers, are generally the minorities with the lowest pay. But the point is that it's all about not letting your oppressor be your teacher. That's the first aspect of a liberated people. How do you let people who held your parents, your ancestors, in 100 years of free labor and never apologize, never provide reparation? Now, we can provide reparations to ourselves. That's why we get into positions of power. Our job, our mission is each one teach one and each one help one. But we've gotten into the culture of greed and selfish and jealousy to the point that, you have billionaires that do not finance apparatus. In other words, Harriet Tubman was a model to emulate. When she got her freedom, she didn't feel free unless she helped free the others. She could have went north and stayed, but she took a position that I'm not free. In matter of fact, it is said that she, when she got free the first time, she was happy, but then she got sad because all the people she loved were still in captivity. So she went back. Now you got multimillionaires. Many of them do help with food giveaways, various educational institutions, building schools and building housing, but not enough. Not enough. And some may don't do it because they're afraid that the European could take it away from them. And some don't do it because they don't even think that they have an obligation or responsibility to help another brother or sister. It's a challenge all the time when we deal with consciousness and a serious struggle. And you struggle in different ways. First, you struggle for the most part of not letting your oppressor be your teacher. That's a struggle in itself. I ain't saying don't go to work. I'm saying go get your check. You understand? I ain't saying don't interact. Interact. But interact with the understanding that many of them are loyal to their country, and their loyalty to their country supersede their relationship with you. Now, there are many whites that marry blacks, and blacks that marry whites, and Asians that marry interracial. They don't worry about that as long as the majority is still being into the process of making America great again. And that means white again. But getting back to the point, that's why they're against abortion. They're not against abortion because they want minorities to have more babies. But they can ship them out anytime. But they want their white women They're the ones that have the majority of abortions. They try to hide behind it's a religious thing, but it's a thing of rebuilding their white power structure with population development. And they believe that they can seduce their children by sending them to their schools, the white schools, so that they learn to know that they are superior to others and they have white skin privilege. But you have to look at the society from an overview, not an understanding, but an overstanding, where you're looking at it from the outside in, and you look at it not just the physical activity, the statistical activity in health and in mortality and infant mortality and life longevity. And then you look at it from the standpoint of pathology. How many people are getting sick? How many amputees? How many people are in prison? You look at it from a statistical standpoint, and you see we're 10% of the population, but we're the majority of the people that suffer from those health disparities, as well as the criminal justice system that give their people justice and give us injustice from the standpoint of sentencing and from the standpoint of longevity in prisons and in executions and even executing people that was innocent. Now, they sacrifice poor whites, and so they make it look like that ain't just a racial thing today. At one time, it was. I mean, you very seldom hear white people lynching white people during the 30s and 20s. It was all black people. So the only thing I'm trying to say is that education brings out the best in you. It means inducier, to bring out the best in you. You can be, their job is to bring out the white, cultivate the white in you, so that you love them even though they mistreat you. Even though it's like a woman that won't leave her husband and he beats her and misuses her. No matter how America mistreat us, we still love it. I think Doc Rivers said, a basketball player, we love this country, but they don't love us back. Well, why are you still loving it? You understand? I mean, I'm not saying leave, go back, but there is a movement that could go to Africa, but not for the standpoint of getting away from white folks, but getting into an environment that still needs to be developed and where you may be appreciated, but for the young people, because this environment is what they're doing to the environment affects all people. They're people. And all people in the world, and their weaponry. You know, when they're dropping the bombs in Gaza or any other place, Vietnam, it affects you. It affects the people that surround it. It affects the environment. Where do you think the smoke goes when they drop bombs in the air? The earth rotates, so it affects you. And that's why some people who never smoke catch cancer. Some people who never smoke get blood diseases and infections. The whole concept of what our curriculum should be is one of nutrition, eating to stay healthy that will give you longevity. And then at the same time, physical fitness. I mean, that's our PE. That's our physical education, staying healthy, avoiding pathologies, diseases, and things of this nature, keeping your eyes out, awareness of what's out there in the environment, and protecting yourself and your children, and things of this nature. Quit thinking that everything is cool. It's like driving a car and not looking out for the driver that's drunk, or in a high-speed police chase, or in somebody shooting at each other, or somebody texting, or somebody reading a book, or somebody eating. You got to look out for all of that, because that's the environment. When you don't, you have accidents. Some of them be fatal. And that's the same way with the education of this society. You got to look out for the things that indoctrinate you and miseducate you. That's why Carter G. Woodson said the miseducation of the Negro. And we're still being miseducated in many ways. And it's not just at the school. They teach our parents, they teach us what they learn. And that's fear of the system. And at the same time, accept America as your homeland. Don't look to Africa, don't look to other places where civilization began, where spirituality began, where a sense of uniqueness as a people that spread through the world. And they took that knowledge and they turned it into corruption. So they took technology and turned it into corruption. And this is it. This is why we say it's about miseducation. And we have to deal with that from that standpoint. Now, am I saying don't go to school? No. Am I saying don't go to college? No. Am I saying that all white people can't teach you nothing? No. I'm talking about ideologies and philosophy. If a white man would teach you how to be a plumber, that's good. White man would teach you how to be an electrician, that's good. White man would teach you how to be a mechanic, and he's doing it and teaching you the skills, yeah. Now, white man would teach you how to work on refrigerators and electric cars and things of this nature for the future. Space shuttle, you learn that. You learn it and you master it. You become the Michael Jordan, the LeBron James, the Kobe Bryant, Gabby, the tennis player, and the sister that do exercises. You become excellent in it because you master the skill. And that's what Booker T. Washington was trying to teach about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. He wasn't talking about boots. He was talking about skill in those days. So it's a struggle, and it's a struggle. You got to choose life. You got to choose your quality of life. And like the young men that are taught that marriage don't mean nothing. Well, if it don't mean nothing, why don't you do it? Because it do mean something. You understand? Now, I'm not saying that you have to have a Eurocentric marriage of, I mean, there's polygamy in African societies. There's different forms of marriages and things of this nature, but it got to be ethical. It can't be illegamy. It got to be polygamy. Both women agree in this harmony. That's on you. If both men agree to be married to one woman, that's them. They understand and they work together and have the double incomes and they both love and they make arrangements for their relationship. That's it. People do that. That's freedom. You understand? I'm not going to get into the challenges of gay marriages and sexual orientation because that's, again, people's choices. I mean, we're not bedroom watchers. You understand? We're not judging people based upon that. You understand? I mean, it doesn't affect you. But what happens if one of your children want to be it? Do you kill them? Do you expropriate them from the family because they have demonized something that they practice undercover all the time? You understand? They invented that, for far as I'm concerned. You understand? But animals do it. But the point is that when you see the world, the world is your world, your life. That's the world. You understand? And how you govern that world and how you learn to think, as Malcolm X said, for yourself, and that means for your people too. It's a whole different world out there when you are liberated. You see things that others don't see. You don't see Magic Mountain as a thing you want to go to because you know there ain't no mountain magic. And you don't see Disneyland as something that you want to go to because when you leave, you will be dizzy when you look in your pockets and realize you paid $50 a park, $100 a park, and $105 for each person, and things of this nature. Just to stand in line for 30 minutes to get on a 2-minute ride. That don't even make sense. You understand? But they make you want to go to those things through advertising. You see how many commercials they have about medicine now? Even though they say there's one of the side effects, you may get dry mouth, you may get chills, it could kill you. And they're putting it on TV. You know, it could, if you have these symptoms, go to your doctor right away. Why am I listening to you? You understand? It's questions. So learning these things help you. You know, the only alternative to not letting your teacher, your oppressor be your teacher, is learning from those that love you. And don't learn everything that people that love you, because sometimes they don't know. But you check things out. That's the beauty of each person having their own brain. I was raised by my mother and father, and I was named Arthur Montgomery Jr. And named after my father. My street name was Sleepy Montgomery, because of basketball. But as I got more conscious, I changed my name to Amon-Ra in 1974. It's 2024 now, and I'm Amon-Ra. You understand? And because I change, you don't just change your name and you don't change. And you know, our purpose in life is to do good and bring good into the world. But we recognize there are other people that don't do good and don't bring good into the world. They're extract from the good. They misuse the good. America is the biggest crime syndicate on the planet. That's why they have all these laws. Because people are not educated not to do them, but they're encouraged to take from the weak and dominate the weak. How do they learn this? What do you think their military is about? Not defend. If it is to defend the country, why are they in Africa? That's not their country. Why are they in East Asia? That's not their country. The technology they have. Like if they can build a fortress called Israel that they swear is a Jewish state, but nothing but an American colony, American military base to make sure that the Arabs don't cut their oil off. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing to think for yourself and see the reality of what's going on in life. So the whole concept of don't let the oppressor be your teacher. That don't mean nothing if you don't think you're oppressed. And that's the first thing they tell you. They tell you didn't get the job because you didn't pass the test that they grade. Ain't that something? That's like three-card Molly. You understand? Or find the pee up under the shell. Well, you understand? I mean, here they are setting the standard. And if they've had colleges for years, the society is sicker than it's ever been. Here they are about to elect a felon, a convicted felon, a person that's been sued for millions of dollars for sexual abuse. And they're likening him to Jesus. Now you know where the original Jesus came from. They just, you understand? I mean, anyone that they adore become a goddess to them. And all power, and they bow to him. We only bow to each other, our people, not no single person. You understand? And have you afraid of death? Like you ain't gonna get it. You understand? You start preparing for death when you're born. And that's why you staying healthy to have longevity. And you have to think in those terms. If it wasn't for our ancestors, that stayed alive and developed apparatus for our freedom, we wouldn't be here today. Every inch of freedom that we have, we fought for. And we are a resilient people in many ways. Even when we don't think we're fighting for our freedom, we fight for it. even if it's nonviolently or through social disobedience or civil disobedience. We struggle. And that's why when we look for philosophies, and I always ask the question, what did you do black today? What is your black philosophy? Do you follow Malcolm? Do you follow King? You're definitely not following King, many of them, because he was about nonviolence. And nonviolence began with you and your family. So if you accept King's philosophy of how to be a good person, you would be practicing it. You can't say you're a Christian and believe in the death penalty. You understand? That don't even make sense. You know, so the only thing I'm saying is that never, if it's possible, let your oppressor be your teacher of ideology, philosophy, health, and with regards to culture, who you are. How do you let your oppressor define who you are? You know, even if you have a job, that's something you do. Even if you're a pro athlete, you're not a pro basketball player. You're an African playing basketball. You understand? For money, he's getting joy. Most season ticket holders are white. Most people that sit in the prime seats are white. You up in the balcony with binoculars because it costs so much. Okay, you know, it's a different thing. Now, there's some black people that got money. You know, they run around, get on TV, sitting in the front row with white folks, paying $5,000 a seat every night or more. You know, they got money like that. And if you ask them to support a black group, Black Lives Matter, African American Culture Center, US organization, NAACP, all of a sudden they ain't got no money. You understand? But they love to be where white folks at. And I'm just saying, and do what white folks do. Act like they playing the game. And that's what the word fan mean, fanatic. You know, you're a fanatic. And I'm just saying that the terrible thing is that they get you hooked on their food. Their food is like a drug, just like heroin. You understand? It's full of salt, sugar, and other form of seasoning. They change the natural flavor of what you're eating. And then you say, why do I keep craving for that? Because they put things in it. They tell you this is a strawberry soda. That's a dye. That's a dye. Ain't no, you know, they put dye in it. They dye in orange, dye in coke. I mean, it's just a struggle. And these are the things we have to educate our children to at an early age. How do we do it? Behind doors. You ain't gonna get in public school. They're tied to the economic interests of this country. They control the educational system. You understand? They make you sick and then make you go to the doctor and you're paying out both ends. Paying to go, they eat their food, and then they make you sick. And then you go to them or to a pharmacy that tells you the side effects could kill you. You understand the medicine you buy. So it's a struggle. So when we say don't let the oppressor be your teacher, that means think for yourself. Research things. Read the package. Read whatever you buy. Study. Get reviews of whatever you buy. If it's online, see if there's some way you can check with other people that you trust when you get ready to get things. Don't just, you know, you buy a lemon in a car, you buy something that you $500 just to get a light change, if your light go out. I mean, think about the maintenance of a car when you buy a car. And what is the purpose of the car? I know people drive big cars and they take them to work. The car's sitting there 8 hours, 6 hours. Then they go back home in the car, sit all night. It ain't like they going to Beverly Hills and eating at Yakipoto's or Benihana's or Ruth Chris or these expensive restaurants. No, you're a poor person with a rich car, or a middle income person with a rich car. Think about your children. Think about your future. Think about investments. Think about saving. Think about building generation wealth. That's the education that I'm talking about. And we have great educators. We lost Nathan Hare, who was one of the first Black people to be start African American studies, well, Black studies at San Francisco State, along with the students. They forced the administration to start it. We lost Brother Lawson, civil rights pioneer. I mean, that brother there, that's Nathan Hare right there on the screen. Nathan Hare was a pioneer, 2 degrees, one in psychology and one in sociology. He was a pioneer, him and his wife, an example of Black male-female relationship. They both had transitioned, but the average kid don't even know who Nathan Hare was. The average student don't know who Nathan Hare is, and that even if they major in Black studies, you understand, very few of them, except for teachers that know the truth. He fought for civil rights. I remember Julia Hare used to say, "What Black women want is a BMW, a Black man working." That was her signature phrase. And Nathan Hare saying that culture is the foundation for our understanding of who we are as a people. And we have to learn to think. And mental health is mental, being able to make courageous and righteous decisions for your generations to come, not only through study and intellectualism, but also through your practice. They were example of using scholarship to help liberate the minds of our people. Profound authors, him and Julia, wrote numerous books on the family, on male-female relationships, on Black people as an endangered species. And they're just a great generation, and he always be remembered for his contribution to our consciousness and those that studied their writing and had them come to schools and lecture and to do workshops on how to be a better African in America. Then we had Brother Lawson, who was a pioneer of civil rights with Martin Luther King. We lost him today. I brought him to Compton along with Marla Gibbs to speak to the seniors. We used to give a luncheon call, They Paid the Price. And it was done at the Dalhousie Center in Compton. And I picked up Reverend Lawson and brought him there. And he talked about the civil rights movement. He was still struggling. He would still make the pie and go and walk across the Edmund Bridge along with John Lewis. He helped desegregate the lunch counter, where integrate the lunch counters and water faucets and bathrooms. He taught people how to be nonviolent, which takes a lot of courage. I didn't have it when I was coming up. I followed Malcolm, defend yourself, but they learned, but both struggles were important. The human rights struggle, Malcolm led, and the civil rights struggle, Dr. King, Reverend Lawson, C.C. Vivian, Abernathy, a number of women and men that fought for us to get equal treatment in this society. Some people say, well, they desegregated toward. No, they desegregated the laws. They were fighting against the laws. They were fighting It was a law against you using the bathroom, white folk. It wasn't like white folks just made that up. You could go to jail, like Rosa Parks did, for sitting on the bus and not getting up and giving the white man your seat. Those were laws that they were fighting against. Civil rights struggle was against American laws. They called them segregation laws, black codes, and I mean, it's just a struggle. I mean, when we need to learn these documents, we need to learn our rights and teach them to our children and learn our experiences as a people. So many young people think that their lives begin when they were born, that they're not connected to a tradition and an ethnicity of a history and culture. And that's unfortunate. And it's not that they are born that way. They're taught not to think about it. Even though they know how many Jews were killed, everybody knows 6 million. You ask them how many blacks were killed in the middle class, how many Native Americans were killed, how many Japanese was killed in the nuclear bomb, atom bomb. It's a different struggle. So this is what we mean by not letting your oppressor be your teacher. That was the whole purpose of Black Studies, is to teach you from a Black ideological, philosophical, and cultural standpoint. It's changed a lot.
Professor Rock,
Yes.
we have a clip of James Lawson at John Lewis's funeral. You want to play
Okay.
that clip?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
World. Reverend Lawson addressed mourners gathered at the Ebenezer Baptist Church to remember John Lewis on Thursday.
I've read many of the so-called civil rights books of the last 50 or 60 years about the period between 1953 and 1973. Most of the books are wrong about John Lewis. Most of the books are wrong about how John got engaged in the national campaign of 1959-60. This is the 60th year of the sit-in campaign, which swept into every state of the Union, largely manned by students because we recruited students, but put upon the map that the nonviolent struggle begun in Montgomery, Alabama, was not an accident, but as Martin King Jr. called it, Christian love has power that we have never tapped. And if we use it, we can transform not only our own lives, but we will transform the earth in which we live. I count it providential that as I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, dropping out of graduate school, in Nashville came people like Kelly Miller Smith and Andrew White and Janetta Hayes and Helen Roberts and Dolores Wilkerson and John Lewis and Diane Nash, C.T. Vivian, Marion Barry, Jim Bevel, Bernard Lafayette, Paulina Knight, Angela Butler. How all of us gathered in 1958 and 59 and 60 and 61 and 62 in the same city at the same time, I count as being providential. We did not plan it. We were all led there. And when Kelly Miller Smith and the Nashville Christian Leadership Council met in the fall of 1958, and we determined that if there's to be a second major campaign that will demonstrate the efficacy of satyagraha, of soul force, of love truth, that we would have to do it in Nashville. And so I planned as the strategist and organizer, a four-point Gandhian strategic program to create the campaign. We decided with great fear and anticipation we would desegregate downtown Nashville. No group of black people or other people anywhere in the United States in the 20th century against the rapaciousness of a segregated system ever thought about desegregating downtown, tearing down the signs, renovating the waiting rooms, taking the immoral signs off of drinking fountains. But it was black women who made that decision for us in Nashville. I was scared to death when we made that decision. I knew nothing about how we were going to do this.
And we all, we don't hear it no more. You took it all?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Lawson was powerful. He was living in L.A. He became minister of a home in Second Baptist in L.A. Holman Church in off of, I think it's off of Wilshire. And it became a very active church, very, very powerful church, and for its activism. And so, you know, it was just strong. And we got to appreciate his contribution to, you know, they sacrificed their bodies and their life and livelihood to make a better life for us. And and that's what I mean about being miseducated. You ask the average kid, you know, James Lawson is not. And that's what I mean by we have to educate him, not the oppressor. He's not going to educate him. He'll tell him what George Washington did, but he won't say George Washington was a slaveholder. All during my elementary school, no teacher taught me that George Washington held slaves or Thomas Jefferson fathered a 13, 15-year-old girl with his baby. I mean, it's ridiculous. But we celebrate them. They used to have President's Day, Washington and Jefferson. I mean, Lincoln. I mean, it's crazy. But still, we struggle. And we struggle to make the best of our situation. So, Mishinda, how you doing? You there?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, man. It's good to hear your voice. I hear you. How you enjoying your hometown?
Oh, man. I've been ripping and running, but I'm enjoying myself, you know? Been all over the place. Just ain't enough time to do what I got to do, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, when you're out here with your family, man, it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I haven't been here in a minute, you know, since COVID, you know, all of that. I was supposed to come last year, but I didn't make it because I got that, you know, I came down well. I had the symptoms or whatever, so I followed the protocol and didn't make it. But, I mean, my wife was packed up. And but anyway, we made it this time. And so seemed like we been here a while, but seemed like it's a short trip at the same time. So,
Mr. C.
That's beautiful, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I kind of came in late. I had went to Long Beach, picked my niece up. She gave a ride home from work. So we got in not too long ago. So I chimed in once I got situated. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's going on now. So y'all, I was listening to some of the things you were talking about. So just checking it out, you know, kind of came in at the tail end, I guess you could say it, a little past the middle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That'll do it, brother. But we're just glad you're here and glad you're having a good time, brother.
Yeah.
We're just talking about the challenges of letting an oppressor be your teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And one main thing they teach is divide and conquer. and practice it. And it teaches you to divide from your culture, from your values, from yourself. Through use of drugs, rewards, and being a model of crime. They're the model. We model ourselves after them. There's drive-bys in the 20s by the mafia and gangsters. They were doing that way before the 80s and 90s. You understand? They were bootlegging, selling drugs and liquor. You know, cocaine used to come and the Coca-Cola. They had to take it out. Somebody healed everything, right. You know. So, you know, it's a challenge. They the one brought heroin here, brought tobacco. Tobacco's not a native plant here. They brought tobacco in from Europe. You understand? They brought their devilish ways and turned them into multi-trillion dollar business. You know, and that's what the refining sugar was all about. Sugar's one toxin. Yeah.
I have an observation.
Yeah.
When you allow your oppressor to be your teacher, and then you take on their ways, it's equivalent to self-destruction.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
No question. Yeah, you're 100% right. That's their nature to teach you to destroy yourself. Part of genocide is not just them annihilating you, but teaching you to annihilate yourself. You understand? It's not just a physical extermination, it's mental and cultural. If you read the Geneva Convention on Genocide and human rights, they say that you can't force people to give up their culture and give up their way of life and impose yours on them. And, you know, I mean, that's the dominant factor. If I can make you determine what is right and wrong by what I say, you're in a whole world of trouble. You know, that's like, your gang members saying, man, it's right for us to ride to rob this bank. Or it's right for us to drive by and shoot some kids. Or shoot up a party. You understand? They telling you right from wrong. Where are they learning from? We all products of America if we're not products of our own culture. And our own value system. They produce us. You understand? We think like them. We act like them. And people are trying to swim and come over here to be like them. You know, it's amazing because of their advertisement, seduction, and illusions that they have that you can get what they got and and be like they got. And some they let a few in, you know, of all types to make it look like, oh, look, we got. We still having the first black to do this, the first Latino to do this, the first Asian police chief, and the first this. You know, why, if they're Americans, why don't we just say, we got a new American police chief? You know, because you're not accepted. As soon as they put your ethnicity or race on it, it devaluates you. You understand? To a certain degree. Yeah. So, Rasha Key, any questions, you and Lucinda?
Well, I have, if you go to the website under the title of Perspective Writings, I have a poem there, Why Did You Chase the Devil?
Why You Chase the Devil?
Why Did You Chase the Devil? And I explain every entire line of the poem, every line, and it's on the line of what you're talking about this evening. So anybody could go and see that. It's a total of 8 pages. The first page
That's a long poem.
Is the poem. Well, the first page is the poem, but I explain every line.
We'll just go over the poem.
Oh, that's oh, you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you chase the devil? And it's extended because I explain every single line. It says, history points out his ills. When we encounter him, we leave with chills. Took many of us against our wills, then exploited our talents and skills. Imperialized many native lands, asked the original Americans who possessed their sands. Their life styles filled with pretend joys, waste lots of money on expensive toys, creating an image of life paradigm, continually deceiving all humankind. Enjoying themselves drunken with wine while the masses suffer captive time. It seems like you want to be like them, kissing ass, trying to be their friend. They destroy all forms of life, causing mass confusion, human strife. Do you like their level? Why do you chase the devil? Mass production of materials annually while destroying nature, our human family. Trying to control black gold, pointing to the fact that they have no soul. So many lives lost in the process show how they are truly heartless. Are you sure you want to be like them? Kissing ass, trying to be their friend? They destroy all forms of life, causing mass confusion, human strife. Do you like that level? Why do you chase the devil?
Wow, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, that's under the...
It's self-explanatory.
Oh, yeah, but you know, I break it down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's under perspective writings.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's beautiful. Ms. Cindy, you have any comments?
No, I don't. I just we can leave with that. I think that covered it.
You ain't kid.
Hey, yeah, Rasha. I think that covered it. You know, well said.
All right, Rasha, keep what's on tomorrow.
So we have here, we have host tomorrow, Dr. Sherry Randolph is back for about the fourth time. And her guest is Shelly Johnson. And the topic is Proposition 19, the destruction of generational wealth. And if you want to join us, it's right here. Just push Zoom underneath her picture. That's Shelly Johnson. And then I want to make an announcement at the World Beat Center in downtown San Diego. We have a Juneteenth celebration. It's the flyers on the website. It's for the youth. It's on June 23rd. And it has information on there, free sewing workshop for youth, all supplies included, history of Underground Railroad quilt codes, and honoring of community activists. So that's the World Beat Center in San Diego, California, downtown.
All right.
And it is my plan to attend it with my grandchildren. So hopefully that goes well.
Right. That's beautiful, man. All right. Each one teach one. We're going to take our pause.
All right, Professor Ra. I want to also show this flyer here. Well, this page that was made by Brother Iweze today. And let me show it. Give me a second here. Right here. Community Education Network. Each one teach one. And beautiful picture he came up with. And it says like and subscribe.
I like it.
Oh, that's a tribute to Brother Iweze contributing to our cause here to educate and to each one teach one. Conscious Corner.
All right.
And the CEN show. Each one.
All right. Teach one. All right, then.
Our pause. Have a good evening.
Yeah, I'll get back with you.